I'm going to have some images or photos on a screen here relative to what I'm going to share on. But we can open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16. And I'll begin reading. Verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron your brother that he come not at all times to the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." Now that's speaking to two of Aaron's sons, took it on themselves just to go in the Holy of Holies, and they ended up dying because they were really doing their own thing in rebellion. It's not a little thing. It's not a light thing. And he begins to speak to him to come into the holy place with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So he shall put on the holy linen coat, shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. He shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre, or it's big hat, shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. Now, in reading this, the high priestly ministry, they were to make an offering for their own sin before they could go into Holy of Holies, wash themselves, put on garments. And all these things are pictures of Christ, pictures of the priestly ministry. The Old Testament has a lot of things as a picture for us that we can understand Christ to come. Oh, okay, we got these up here. So I picked a few out. These photos are from the Hebrew Tabernacle reconstructed in Lancaster. The Mennonite Historical Society built it to actual specs that's in the Bible. And you can go there and they'll sort of like give you a tour and explain what some of the things meant. When we had our high school, I used to always take them over just to see that, because there's a lot in the Bible referring to the tabernacle and the priestly ministry. So then they can get a visual or a picture. So we'll just kind of keep them circulating there. Holy of Holies, this is one of my favorites. Actually, you can get this in a poster. That's a painting of the outer tent, the outer curtain there, and there's a top view. The holy place here on my left, and then the Holy of Holies there. So this, I can do a whole teaching just on that, but just so you have a picture so you understand what I'm reading here. So he says, he'll take the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats, or some people call them lambs. To me, a goat and sheep's not the same thing. I know when I go to India, I'd see lamb on the menu in restaurants, but in traveling all over, I never saw one single sheep. But I'd see these flocks of goats, and I said to Israel one time, "Brother Israel, in a restaurant, I'll say you have lamb, but I've never seen a sheep. All I see is goats." He said, "Oh, it's the same thing." I'm saying, "No, it's not to me." Goat has a more stronger flavor to it. I'll say that. Some people like goat cheese. I know I had some over there once, and it turned me against goat cheese. But I guess you could acquire taste for it. Well, anyway, there's two young goats, two baby goats, for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron will offer his bull for a sin offering for himself. Verse 6, Leviticus 16, and make an atonement for himself and his house. Now, what they were doing was making an offering to cover their sin, or that God's forgiveness be there, that they not be punished for their sin. But sin was still in people. In the New Testament, what Jesus did, we're not only forgiven, but the sin's taken out from us. We're cleansed, and that's the only reason why the Holy Spirit can come in, because he cannot come in an unholy vessel. So it says, he'll take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You have a doorway there. You take them, and it says, I'm going to just watch through a couple of these here. again, you see the fire by night, cloud by day, as a pillar. The outer coming, the inside. In the holy place, there's table with bread, there's a golden candlestick, and then the altar of incense, and a priest there that's walking in, golden candlestick, which represents us being the light, Jesus the light, and us being the light, showbread, bread of life. There was like an altar, coals of fire, and incense. That's the outside altar where they would put the blood and burn the sacrifice. Well, anyway, come back here to the scripture. It says, Aaron would bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So there's two goats, two baby goats. One would be offered for their sin, and his blood would be put on everything and on the holy, the Ark of the Covenant, and here in the Holy of Holies. And that blood was shed to pay the price for sin, or the price that you would owe as punishment. Jesus' blood pays that price, where you do not have to be punished or have judgment upon you. But he talks about this second goat, and that's what I want to talk about, the scapegoat. The scapegoat. And what it's saying about the scapegoat, as we read on, that the high priest would lay his hands upon the scapegoat, and it says that down at verse 21, Aaron shall lay both hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their sins. And he would have his hands on this young goat, confessing their sins, and send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities to a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. So we have this here called the scapegoat, the goat upon whom all the blame is going to fall. And I remember when I played baseball as a kid in the 10 to 12-year-old league, and I remember times, if you come in to say it was a seven-inning game, and it's like the bottom of the seventh, your team's down two runs, bases are loaded, there's two outs, and you're up the bat. And I think that actually happened for me one time. And the other kids in the stands are yelling, "Hero or the goat. Hero or the goat." Now, you know, when you're like, say, 11 years old, you don't need that kind of pressure. Hero or the goat. Hero. They start getting louder and louder. Hero or the goat. And at that time, I mean, that expression was used. It comes from the Bible. Jesus was the goat in that our sins are upon him and he takes them away. As in playing Little League, it's either you're going to be the hero and say you're down one run, get a hit, and we win the game, or you're going to strike out or fly out or ground out, and we lost because you didn't come through. It's all your fault. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. Maybe some of you guys playing Little League, you know, you kind of get in a situation like that, and nothing like a lot of pressure when you're 10 years old. But, you know, we do have those things in life. And ultimately, responsibility falls on some people for situations. You know, you have in the game, another expression we use, someone choked. You know, they froze up. You know, they're up to bat. So that's being the scapegoat. It's all your fault. Now, when Adam sinned, really it was all his fault. It was all on him. It's passed on down to us. We're responsible for our own sins. But God had a plan where Jesus would take our sin, take the blame, take the punishment all on himself that we should have been paying for. Don't ask for what you deserve, except maybe for your paycheck from your boss. But don't ask for what you deserve. Because then if we all got what we deserve, we should all go to hell. There is no one righteous, not one. Romans 3:10. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that in Romans 3:23, I believe it is. We've all sinned. We all had a punishment because of our sin against God, our rebellion, where our destiny would be hell, separation from God. But Jesus paid the price with his blood, and he took our sin away, whereby we could be born again and God come to live in us. So we have Jesus being the goat, being the goat. As a younger person, I never really had much of a like for goats. I had horses as a teenager, as a 18, 19. And one place I kept my horses, it was my cousin had like a 10-acre farm, a barn, so I rented from him and had a couple of my horses there. And there was a big box for the horse food. It was like 4 by 8 feet. It's a pretty big box. And I'd buy 100-pound bags of oats with honey. Mixed in, or not honey, maybe it was, or syrup, molasses. It's molasses mixed in with it. And of course, horses love that. They do good with oats. And there was this big box, and there was a plywood lid, and I'd have to like prop it up, and there was a 2x4 over here prop at the corner. And my cousin had this goat tied in the barn. He was on chain. And that goat could reach that box. And they're smart and they're ornery. And I would get, this goat would wait. I'd open the box, prop it. I'm leaning down in, scooping up the grain. And that goat could just reach that box, get up, jump, knock that board down, that lid fall on my head. So I never had a real high opinion of goats because of that one. And but nonetheless, they were chosen to be slain here for the sins of the nation and the sins being confessed upon the live goat. So they'd slay the one goat and put his blood upon everything you see up there. And then the live goat, they would take and confess their sin and then take it to the wilderness. And the picture is, that's a picture of Jesus in his death where he is taking our sin away from us. Not just paying a price to forgive you, but to remove it and take it away. And I really appreciate everything about God, but one thing is how he gives us pictures because we understand things largely visually. So he gives us this picture where the blood shed to pay the price, but then the sins taken away. And we have Jesus who not only shed his blood on the cross and when he was beaten and all the rest, but he went to hell for us for 3 days. That's what you deserved. He suffered for 3 days. God said it's enough. The price is paid. And the where it says, you know, his body was broken for us and he bore on himself the sins and iniquities of us all. It was put upon Jesus on the cross. He dies in spirit. He dies in his body. He goes to hell with our sin that was put upon him on the cross and is suffering the punishment, the flames of fire of hell. And of course, Satan hated Jesus. So they're tormenting Jesus, all the demons tormenting him. He pays and suffers in the way that we deserve to. But then on the third day, God said, it's enough. And the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Jesus made a full show of Satan and all of his demons openly, defeating them. And as one of the songs we sing, death couldn't hold him down. Death couldn't hold him down. You know, death is, if you might think you have problems, but the biggest problem you could ever have is you're dead. I mean, there's nothing you can do then. If you're dead, it's over. Death couldn't hold him down. Satan thought he had him. He thought he had defeated the Son of God, the one who kicked him out of heaven. But the reality is, it was all in God's plan. And in that plan, we see the love of God demonstrated. There's no other higher way to know love than the fact that Jesus not only died for us, but he suffered for us. And he bore our sins and our punishment that we wouldn't have to. That's such an awesome thing. If you were to do something really bad at home, and let's just say Daniel here did something really bad, and your father says, well, here's a punishment. And your brother says, I'll take the punishment. I don't know what kind of punishment you would get, but just say you'd clean the house. And your brother says, I'll take that punishment. And he cleans the house, and you don't have to, lose out on playing baseball, whatever it is you're doing. So that's the situation here where Jesus is saying, I'll take the punishment that everyone else deserved to have to pay. And in that, we see the highest expression of love. It's not just on the cross. That was a part of it. Other people have been crucified. But no one has taken the sins of the whole world upon himself, who was sinless, who never did anything wrong. You know, there's times we suffer because someone else did something wrong. And maybe some of you in your class at school, you have a situation where someone does something bad, teacher doesn't know who it is, and the whole class gets punished. Did you ever have that happen? You guys in school, the whole class gets punished. You say, it's unfair. It's unfair. Sometimes life's like that. You know, there's a punishment. You might think it's not fair, but the reality is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve to be punished. We're all part of that sin. You know, maybe the whole class is in on it. We're all part of that, part of the human race. But Jesus loved us so much, he said, I'll pay the price. I'll bear the sin. So Jesus on the cross, it was spoken by God that he bore the sins and iniquities. It was prophesied by Isaiah and other places as well, where he bore our sins and our iniquities. He took it upon himself. And being that scapegoat, took it all on himself, took it away from us. So as we take the bread, we are acknowledging our sin upon him, and his body was broken. But resurrection life came into him in hell and raised him up, and he was whole again. And that same resurrection life is available to us even this day. That same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And again, that's in some of our songs. That expression is in some of our songs. So we have Jesus fulfilling all this. But it didn't end there. When he rose again and defeated Satan, he went to heaven and took his blood to heaven, where it speaks of his work and his redemption. And he came back down and showed himself alive. And then after 40 days is ascended to heaven, and 10 days after that sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus is my hero. He's the hero and the goat. He was the goat. He took the blame for Adam's sin and all of our sin. But he was also the hero in that he alone could pay the price for our sin. And he obeyed the Father's will unto the death, showing us the love of God. And in that resurrection, he's delivered us all. Jesus, hero and the goat. The hero and the goat, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take communion here in a moment. I just want to read 1 Corinthians 11, the scriptures. And the ushers could begin to pass out the bread and the cup. It says, when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself or judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So he says here, as we're partaking communion together, we're remembering the Lord's death. In his death, he paid the price for our sin with his blood, and with his body, sin was put upon him, taken to hell. In that resurrection, your sins left in hell. That's the thing I like to visualize. My sins burn up in hell. God remembers it no more. And in that resurrection, there is the power of God for us to live in victory over sin. So we take the bread and the cup, we remember these things, and we want to judge ourselves. Lord, what am I doing with what you did? Just to make it real simple, am I believing on you? The work of the blood and the body is at the very foundation of the Christian faith, the Christian life. We're not working to pay for our sin. Jesus paid for it. Wouldn't you love to be able to go to a car dealership and say, oh, just put it on John's card, you know. Somebody else paying for that car. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, Jesus paid in full for our sin. And that is so liberating. You might say, well, what about if I sin again? He paid in advance for all the sins you ever commit. Now, we need to confess. We need to judge ourselves and say, Lord, there's sin here in my life. I ask you to forgive me. I confess that. And I know I'm forgiven because forgiveness was bought with your precious blood. And as we acknowledge the resurrection, we recognize the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. That's there to enable me to walk with God and to do his will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.